do have a quorum available. Oh, we do have a quorum. Thank you. Call the order. Can we have a roll call?
Representative Klayman. Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Keto. Representative Keto. Representative Miller.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Here.
Representative Stoops.
Here.
Representative Drummond. Representative Easton.
Here.
Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Diesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Hoffman. Senator Kelly.
Here.
Senator McKinnon. Senator McKinnon. Senator Machicki. Senator Machicki. Senator Costello. Chair Stedman.
Here.
Chair Gettenberg.
Here.
Eight members present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. So this is
Representative Klayman. I'm on the line as well.
I'm sorry. Who is that?
Representative Klayman.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Yep. Majiki's here. Hey, this is Senator Kelly. Did I ever get through?
Yes. Yes, Senator Kelly, you're online.
Okay. Thank you.
And we have Senator Kelly. Senators Coghill and Representative Matt Klayman and Senator Machicci just came on.
That's right.
So this is the legislative joint legislative council meeting of June 26th. It is 11:07. We just took a roll call, and you can add those members to us present. We have before we get to approval of the agenda, I just want to say something. We just lost one of our long-term legislative staff, the representative, Speaker Bryce, and just our condolences to the family and people who. So that was, it was Adam Berg. So the approval of the agenda. Are there any comments or additions or changes to the agenda? Seeing none. Oh, we have to have a roll call. Thank you. Please take. Oh, we have that motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that legislative council approve the agenda as presented.
Okay. Objection, please take the roll call.
Representative Klayman?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Keto? Representative Millett? Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Yes.
Senator Coghill?
Yes.
Senator Diesel?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman? Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Chickney?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Gettenberg?
Yes. The next order of business is the approval of the minutes for the April 23rd, 2018 meeting.
Mr. Chairman, the legislative council approved the minutes dated April 23rd, 2018.
Are there any comments or changes to the minutes? Hearing none, Molly, please take a roll call.
Representative Klayman?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Stoops?
Yes.
Senator Coghill?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman? Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Benzo?
Yes. So before I go to the next item, I want to ask the members if there were, if the way we communicated with members was adequate. Did they get notice in time? Is there other ways they want us to communicate with them? Please let us know. This is a, it is everybody's advantage that everybody has all the information they would need to make the right decision in a timely manner. Everything's up on basis at this point that's public, and we want to make sure that we're reaching out and touching people the way they want to get information. Next item on the agenda is the ratification of a charitable event.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council ratify the chair's sanctioning of the following charitable events per AS 2460-080-A2D, 26th Annual Polk Classic Open.
Sir, any comments or any objections? Seeing none, Molly, please take the roll.
Representative Clayman?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Millett?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Suits?
Yes.
Senator Conkin?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Gettenberg?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is the approval of contracts for the Microsoft Annual Agreement and the Nexus Lexus. Tim Banaszak, would you please come up? Introduce yourself and put yourself on record. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman and Vice Chair, members of the Council. For the record, my name is Tim Banaszak. I'm the IT manager for the Alaska State. Today, we have in front of you for your consideration is the annual Microsoft Enterprise Software Agreement License, as the motion submitted by Vice Chair indicated. The State of Alaska has negotiated on behalf of the legislature, the executive and judicial branches, a three-year contract with Software House International, which provides Microsoft products including Windows 10, Windows Server operating system, the Office Software Suite, that includes items that most of us are familiar with, such as Word, Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint, Skype for Business, OneNote, Publisher, Access Database. This agreement also provides licensing to operate critical infrastructure systems, including the Windows 10 PC operating system, Windows Server, databases, including cases for our mentioned earlier in the meeting, our network drives, SharePoint, web servers, including our intranet and extranet web servers are licensed to this as well. Part of this contract also includes secure email storage up to 100 megabytes per box, gigabytes per box. Some of you might remember the days when we had less than one. So that's included in this as well. Also, we have unlimited archiving, part of this contract, and protected OneDrive file sharing and software licensing collaboration from full devices. So it's a fairly comprehensive contract that covers a lot of our services that we use. Finally, one of the important areas that this provides is software assurance, which safeguards the applications, operating systems, and databases by providing the most current security updates and software version. I'll lean into the mic here a little bit. Mr. Chairman, this agreement, which begins July 1st, 2018, for a period of 1 year with two annual renewals, provides the benefits of reduced volume pricing, enhanced technical support, regular software upgrades, and training for both technical and non-technical staff. The legislature's portion of this agreement for FY19 is $144,402.52, which is budgeted under the administrative services component and requires Legislative Council's approval. And just for the Council's information, the executive branch is actually in a business meeting right now, hoping to negotiate a few points down from what we're actually paying on top of this right now. We're receiving government pricing at this point, but at the outset of this meeting, they were just going for their business meeting, and so we may actually be able to reduce it down a little bit. But at this point, this is the pricing that we have to go from, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, you or the members have. Thank you.
Mr. Stedman, a motion to accept that approval of that expenditure for that annual 3 year.
I move that legislative council approve the expenditure of not more than $144,402.52 for the house of national licenses for the sleepers.
Is there any discussion? Any observations? Anybody online? Hearing none, Molly, would you call the roll?
Representative Clayman?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Miller? Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Stu?
Yes.
Senator Cochran?
Yes.
Senator Diesel?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Guttenberg?
Yes. Thank you. Sorry, Molly. Thank you. Next order on the agenda is the Nexus Lexus. Would look up, please come up. Thank you. Let's start off with the motion.
I move the legislative council approve a 2 year renewal of Lexus Nexus for the publication of our statutes in the amount of an estimated annual average of $50,000.
Mr. Luckup.
Gary Luckup, advisor of statutes for state legislature. As noted in the motion, this is a 2 year renewal of the current contract that was entered into in 2012 for a 6 year period. It's provides, as noted in my letter to the council, terms are very beneficial to the state at this time, considering contracts that have been entered into by other states the size of Alaska. And experienced some problems over the last 2 years with Lexus moving to a new editorial format that we're trying to work through those. We're also hoping that as we have an actual interim this year, we're going to be able to resolve all those issues, and we've been working diligently with them. I would just ask the council, if there's any questions, ready to answer them. I would just ask the council to do this two-year renewal, because it is beneficial to the state under the terms as I've outlined in the letter.
Look, in other states that have, are not, are there any states that are not printing their statute books, and other alternatives I've been looking into the future? Would there be a time when publicly available statute books would not be needed, or what's the perception of that world changing?
Guttenberg. I think eventually we'll reach that point. It's always going to be a problem in Alaska due to this and not everyone having a stable internet connection. I think books are always going to be needed out there. The other aspect of publishing statutes is annotated statutes. The annotations that Texas provides, their editors provide to the cases, that state and federal cases, is helpful for people who have to deal with government and can easily find cases that have interpreted our statutes. And so to that aspect, it's going to be difficult in Alaska to completely deal away with printed statutes. That said, a few states have tried. Wisconsin is going with an official version that is online, but they still are printing statutes, too, for those that want printed statutes. But, you know, I think hopefully we're going to reduce the amount of paper over time. And if we truly do go to an online-only version, it's something that which a number of states are taking that work in-house. And they're basically deciding we're just going to publish an online version and let everybody do what they want. And so companies like Lexis or West or other companies that choose to issue a printed version can. But again, with Alaska, it's I think it's problematic to say we're going to be able to go to a completely online version. It's because it's Alaska. Any other questions? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just note that online you can access our statutes. If there's a disclaimer that says it may not be the most current version of our statutes. So if we were to go online, there'd have to be some fixes to that whole process. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Or remove my objection? Stop.
Seeing none, would you please call the roll?
Senator Kleinman.
Yes.
Senator Vetchman.
Yes.
Representative Mellon? Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Stu?
Yes.
Coghill? Senator Coghill?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator McChickie?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sedna?
Yes.
Chair Kettenberg?
Yes. And the tally is?
Yes, 0 nays.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the legal services update. Would Mr. Gardner please join us? Is the letter in the packet? Does everybody have a copy of the Cigar's letter? It was sent
out. Mr. Chairman, I have no copy of the letter.
I think it's being distributed. It was sent out, I think it was the date which council members got it, before it went out to all other members. Gardner, I texted you on Monday saying I hadn't officially accepted this letter, and you had an opportunity to take whatever actions you wanted to, but here you are, and could you give us your update on Ledge Legal Services?
Well, Representative Gunberg and members, it's a pleasure to be seated for you one last time. Giving an update, you and I did not discuss exactly what your thoughts were about the update. I could ramble.
It's whatever it
would be worse than you.
You're the director.
I will give you a short 2 to 3 minute assessment of where I think things are. And as you know, August 15th will be my last day as director. I don't have any plans right now. I'm your director until the last minute of the last day that I'm here. After that, I will look around, but I don't have any plans right now. And I segue into the conversation about the office. I think the office is in good shape right now. We have a lot of talented folks that you have all worked with. I went out of my way this year, and I think the presiding officers may have seen more of this. I'm looking at Representative Millett and Representative Edgeman, and I know recognize Senator Kelly's online, possibly the co-chairs, saw a little bit more of me as typically happens. And I brought some of the staff with me periodically to meetings. I did that. That wasn't an accident. I wasn't wasting anybody's time. I wanted to give I wanted to give some exposure to people that I think probably can do very well for you. But the office, I think, is in good shape. You were all very supportive. I came around and did what I had never done before, and I think it put Pam and I in a slight awkward spot to come around and stump for money. I didn't want to do that, but I thought we were at a mission critical spot, and I'm looking at everybody here and those online, and I know that there was a lot of support for the office. And so I think that that additional funding, you know, it's like everything in life. There's not a lot you're going to do with it in November to make a change in January, but it's getting tapered into the system right now. We are building out the editing area. You know, when you're a chair and you're waiting for a CS, I'm looking at Senator Diesel right now, but or you're a speaker or president on the floor, you're trying to get things through the office. You know what they are. And I know staff are like, well, why can't this just get finished really quickly? We have an extensive peer review process, and the reality is that there were two choke points that we identified. One is the editing staff. They are wonderful, and they make sure that we don't screw things up at 10 o'clock at night. The other end of the process is the revising process that Mr. Ludcup handles on an hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute basis. So we added an attorney there. And we added an editor, which you approved, and that was the funding that we went with. I think that as we get into the 31st legislature, that is going to pay big dividends in a variety of different ways. One, my goal always, as your director, was to make you look good on the floor. I wanted the public to, I wanted it to be true, and I wanted it to be a smooth process. Sure, there's small delays that are always going to occur. But I didn't want any of my chairs, presiding officers, or anybody, minority members waiting for amendments. I wanted that all to go as smoothly as possible. And I think this step will help in that. It's just that this year we were at a place where the ball was getting snapped and we needed to roll with what we had. I think it will also help with the retention in my office. Now, I don't know what the number is. I wish I had a number to tell you how much we have invested in the Emily Naumanns, I shouldn't have been named, but there are people, Megan Wallace, Hillary Martin, budget drafters, education attorneys, assistant revisors, Jerry, myself. There's a lot invested in our experience and time. And really, it's such a small office that you can't have significant turnover without losing enormous amounts of efficiencies in life. I started my life in a private family business, and so I know that every time you touch something, it costs you money, and everything you do reflects on who you are and what your goals are. So I wanted the office to reflect what you all need to bring to your constituents and what needs to get done for Alaska. I'm not a policy person or a political person. I just wanted to make sure you had that resource. I think those changes are coming online, and I think that next session will always be growing and will always be learning, but I think that things are in good shape. I don't know how much you would like to talk to me in an executive session and how much you would like to talk to me in a public session, but I'll answer any questions that you have, but we're in good shape.
And
why I chose to transition, Mr. Chair.
And we will have Mr. Gardner back in the session.
Just publicly, I want to thank you. You've been the director almost the whole 10 years I've served. I think I served 1 year under Cam, but your professionalism and your staff and the way that you've run the legislature's Department of Law has been amazing. You came up with, amendments for my minority, and you were stellar in your performance, and making sure that our voices were heard, and I really appreciate that. You shepherded Speaker Edgman and I through some tough times and gave us good advice, and that's greatly appreciated. We know we put a lot of pressure on the Department of Law. We've had, I was just writing down some of the issues, the oil and tax debate, Medicaid, defined benefits, budget bills, crime bills, lawsuits, education. You became a public figure through all that, and I know there was a lot of criticism on you, but I want you to know that I heartfully thank you. I'm sorry to see you go, but I understand that ability for you to go out into the private sector, but you'll be missed. You've mentored a lot of people in the legislature and showed good compassion and kindness and fairness, so I want to thank you and your staff, and it didn't go unnoticed. And, you know, you were always at the end of the cell phone, easy to get a hold of. And, you know, we had some wild hours during the last couple sessions. So I appreciate your professionalism and wish you well. Good to see you, Coach.
Thank you. I enjoyed every minute of it. And I enjoyed the opportunity, since you mentioned it, on occasion. I felt I was walking a bit of a tightrope, you know. But there were a couple of occasions where you and Representative Edgman closely together to deal with issues in this session. Thank you both for being statesmen.
Yes, anybody online? So,
Chairman?
This is Representative Edgman.
A substantial committee chair. The Resources Committee handles lots of time-sensitive bills. The work that your team has done over the last 2 years specifically has just been outstanding. And we've really, really appreciated it. I say that on behalf of my staff as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there somebody online?
Yeah, this is Representative Klayman. Just, Doug, I wanted to thank you for all the fine work that you did. I know that part of the challenge when we have diverse interests that you're representing, your job is to represent all of us in this. Although we may sometimes forget that, you keep reminding us. And last, I just want to note that at the end of the session, it was great to hear those back. Thank you.
Hey, this is Pete. I'd like to say something, too.
Go ahead, Pete.
Doug, you when you first came in, I had fairly low expectations of you. I don't even know why, but I did. And worked together, you blew away all my low expectations, and my expectations began to grow, and as they grew, you kept blowing them away. You're one of the best staff people I've ever been around, and you're a hell of a lawyer, and I just really appreciate what you did. And I tell you what, if I can ever write a letter of recommendation for me, just let me know. It'll kind of embarrass you, but doggone, you're a good one. Thank you.
Representative Bryce.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to echo the comments from the Senate President, the Speaker. I worked very closely with Doug and his staff, and like the Minority Leader mentioned, you were there at virtually every turn. I worked late at night and early in the morning, and certainly on weekends, and I know you remember that fondly. I see the smile on your face. But I just want to thank you for the great job you've done, and Mr. Chairman, I want to commend you for giving the council the opportunity to not only have the director come forward and speak publicly, but also to go into executive session and give the council the opportunity, whatever it may desire in terms of learning hearing from the director in an atmosphere where we can perhaps speak more candidly about things, and for the council to get a better understanding of what actually is involved in being the legal director. I think it's a job with a lot of nuances. It's a job that not only crosses the legal profession into, you know, sort of working with a political institution and the public and all the other pieces that are attached to it, but it's a pretty unique job. And, Doug, I think you've been fantastic, and you are my favorite big part player, too.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to say that this was a, this legislature, the 30th legislature, was... there were a lot of significant issues for consideration by the legislature. There were a lot of challenging situations that came up, and the legislature had to change some policies and otherwise address those things. you know, maybe it was just because I was getting a little bit more gray hair. But I felt a comfort level, and this is a compliment to Representative Edgemann and Senator Kelly, and I hope that it resonates with whoever holds those positions down the road. But when I had a problem, or we had a logistical issue, and it goes for a lot of the chairs too this year. I know that there was a lot of, you know, if you look at Twitter and you see all the things that are going on, you wonder, how is this organization functioning? But behind the scenes, you know, it's the Heather Carpenters and Amory Lates that represent you both on an hour-by-hour basis with our office to try and make the floor work smoothly. And I can't say how much access I had to both you and you, Representative Edgemann, and Senator Kelly, through staff, and if I needed to come down and say, hey, look, we've got to do something here, this isn't working, or we don't have the time to do this, or we can do this, we can't do that, whatever it was. That access was huge, and it helped us squeeze, again, you know, from a family business, private sector person to where I got my start in life. And it's all about squeezing the most out of what you have. It's not about wanting more. It's about what can you do with what you're given. And I really felt that you two presiding officers helped me do that this last 2 years under some incredibly challenging circumstances. And as I said, when we started the session off with training, we are all in this together. And yes, I respect you as elected officers and representatives of people, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all in this legislative process together, and nobody can do anything without the cooperation of all. Minority, majority, independent, we all have to pull together to make it work. And I thought that you two gave me the opportunity to try and bob and weave through some real high-volume stuff, solve those problems before they turned into more floor-like, you know. I want to thank you both for that. I enjoyed working with both of you. And I want to say one thing that I hope Representative Edgemann finds humorous. I believe that it may be that I am the only non-member that ever called a speaker on the floor and asked for an at-ease. That I asked for an at-ease, but I asked for a go to the college chair for a little while, if you can read between the lines, Mr. Speaker. He sat there on the floor. I was watching him on TV. I was on my phone, and he started laughing, I started laughing, and he went to call the chair for a few hours. We solved those problems, and you all went on and looked very smooth to the public. It's those kinds of things. Senator Kelly always had a sense of humor in his office, and so did you, Representative. So thank you, both gentlemen, both presiding officers, both statesmen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug. If you
have anything else for me, I know the time is limited. I'd be happy to answer questions in an executive session if members have it.
Someone else online?
Yeah, this is Machicki. I could go on for just as long about Doug, and we've asked him for some pretty extraordinary things over the last 4 years, and your department's always come to rise to the occasion. The thing that I like the best is you actually will push back at appropriate times when some of us are somewhat exuberant about a particular approach and legislation, and you've been constructively assertive. I think that's the one thing that wasn't mentioned. And the only thing I wanted to say about Senator Kelly, the humor in his office is that he does steal a lot of material from me. I just thought that was important to clarify. But thank you, Doug, for all your hard work.
Well, it's as I said, I'm one person sitting here who's departing, but the dozen or so attorneys that are probably enjoying an interim, imagine that, but one seated behind me and many others who are working for you all year round are the ones that make it happen, and it was my privilege to be that person as director.
Thank you. I want to, from my perspective, there's two parts of what we do. And part of it, one is policy and one is process. And if you can't get through having a process, you will never get to policy. you know, we've got that starts off with rules and masons and all that other stuff. And Ledger Legal allows us that process to get the policy. And I know if I went over to your office and I was like, this is where they're doing all that work. Right? This is the space that they have. And just a tremendous amount of work. And I appreciated everything that you've done. And I was on Ledge Council and we hired you. But I was not on the search committee. And I was going to, and I'm going to set up a search committee that is going to mimic the same one that hired you, and that consists of the chair, the executive director, the presiding officers, and the minority leaders of both bodies. And if a member, one of those members is available, I'll look to the presiding officers to take the steps, and we'll get to that as soon as we can. And I know we have a memo from SCIF on what we can do and what we can't do, and I will ask you to start that process by writing a job description for whatever we move forward on. That's a good place to do that. Ledge Council does not actually do the hiring. Just explain to people that. The executive director does the hiring, but the two positions that are so significant for the legislature are Ledge Director and our finance, Division of Finance. And I asked the executive director to come up with the history of that. And it boils down to, if we hired you, Ledge Director and the Finance Director, we're basically having three separate divisions. And basically three budgets and three different things, and that would be pretty inefficient. So Ledge Council on your position will go through this process of a search, then narrowing the window down to the few candidates, whatever process they decide upon, and give that name to the executive director. And I think it's also appropriate to have a policy statement that affirms that process, that that we have one legislative affairs agency and the executive director makes that decision, but the hiring of those two positions come from the recommendations of the council. I think that's the efficiency that has evolved over the years, and I don't see any reason to change it unless somebody else does. Before we go into executive session, I also want to thank you, Doug. I think you have a job that rides the rail, rides the edge of a blade, that, you know, you're always somebody that self-corrects and helps other people stay there. And, you know, some people have an agenda and they want an opinion that says what they want it to say. And many times I've gotten an opinion back and it's like, I don't like that. But that's what it is. It's the law. It's the perception from you and your people. And I always thought it was the right thing to do. Sometimes it was misread, intentionally or otherwise, but I thought you guys always did a good job, so I appreciate that. And do you have anything else before we move on?
Chat and executive session.
Okay. And with that, and next we will go into executive session. Mr. Vice Chair, would you make a motion?
The Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B23, subject on matters that may, law, or...
Molly, would you call the roll?
Hyman.
Yes.
Representative Fetchman.
Yes.
Representative Millett. Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
Yes. Yes.
Hawkill.
Yes.
Senator Diesel.
Yes.
Senator Kelly.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman.
Yes.
Chair Guttenberg.
Yes.
Zero
nine. Okay. With that, any legislators not on the council are welcome to stay. And will the following staff please stay in the room? Jessica Gary, Deb Gardner, Crystal Kinnaman, Tim Strong, Molly Kessel, Eliana Salinke, Jake Burkhart, Skip Lumbau, Alicia Martin, and Brian Meisner. With that, we're at ease. Thank you. Well, we're out of executive session. Molly, would you call the roll?
Representative Klayman.
Here.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Here.
Representative Ortiz.
Here.
Representative Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Drummond. Senator Coghill?
Here.
Senator Diesel? Senator Kelly? Senator Kelly? Senator Kelly? Senator Machicki?
Yes.
Mr. Stedman?
Here.
Mr. Gettenberg?
Here. Thank you. So we are out of executive session. Back to the agenda. Yes. Could you give us the number? The vote tally.
We have 9 members present.
Okay. Thank you. We have a quorum. Senator Stedman, could you give us a motion?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, you want these 3 individually?
No, let's do them individually.
So that ledge council approved $160,000 for the design of the third floor at 1500 West Princeton Boulevard.
Is there discussion? Molly, would you call the roll?
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Drummond. Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Diesel.
Yes.
Senator Kelly. Senator Machicki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Gettenberg?
Yes.
Nine yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Senator Stedman?
Mr. Chairman, I move that Ledge Council approve $150,000 for the purchase of air handling equipment for the third floor. 1500 West Benson Avenue.
Is there discussion? No objection. Molly, would you call the roll?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Machicci.
Do we have adequate support that we understand what is needed before we spend the money? I've always been hesitant to spend any money on that building until we know what we're doing for sure. Do we have documentation from engineering that it's required and that we have the right equipment that we're going to order and install?
Yeah, Jessica, if you want to come up, please identify yourself.
For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director of Legislative Affairs Agency. Senator Machiki, through the chair, we had our engineers here earlier discussing this with us, and this does need to be done regardless of what health is approved on the project. So this is an important thing that needs to be taken care of.
Senator, I had a discussion with them earlier concerning the nature of your questions. The specifics, this is the air handlers dedicated to the third floor, and it's a replacement for what's there now. They're going to go on the roof, so there won't be just require a crane, and we will get the specifications, but it's simply a replacement for what's existing now, not to expand capabilities across the building. And Jessica's nodding her head.
So
does that help?
Yes, so it's a sort of a safety requirement for necessary air movement and HVAC on the third floor. Is that how you would define it?
Yeah, exactly, Senator. We're not expanding anything. We're just replacing what's there. That it'll be required almost no matter what we do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jessica, I mean, Molly, would you call the roll? If there's no more questions. No more questions, please.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Vetchman.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Machiki.
Yes.
Vice Chair Sedman.
Yes.
Chair Gettenberg.
Yes.
Nine nays, zero nays.
Thank you. Senator Sedman.
That Legislative Council approved the pressure washing and resealing of the building exterior for a repainting of the first floor exterior in the amount not to exceed $208,000.
Is there objection? So let me say something that we make sure that the contract comes up with us that it's not. I thought it was going to be a clear, but it's not going to be, so we need to make sure they come back to us with the color so that it's not something that doesn't work. With that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Machiki.
To be very brief, clearly the coating is failing, and this cost is to avoid much more costly repairs in the future. I just think it's always healthy for the public to understand why we're spending certain dollars on certain state assets.
Thank you, Senator. That, Molly, please call the roll.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Vetchman.
Yes.
Representative Millett. Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Kelly? Senator Machiki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sedman?
Yes.
Senator Settenberg?
Yes.
9 yeas, 0 nays. Yes.
Thank you, Ed. At this point, we're the annual computer refresh. And that is that. Please. Oh, yes. Senator, would you motion?
I'd like a motion right up front.
Sure.
I move that Legislative Council approve the FY19 hardware refresh expenditure of $146,846 and object for discussion.
Yes, sir. Danizak, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the council, for the record, my name is Tim Danizak, and I'm the IT manager for the Alaska State Legislature. The request before you, as the vice chair just submitted, was for the FY19 hardware refresh recommendations. The IT subcommittee offers the following FY19 computer hardware refresh recommendations for consideration: 82 computers that replaces the 2011 models for $91,020, 164 monitors, which provide an integrated PC capability for $28,946, and then finally 20 laser printers to replace some of the 2011 models for $26,850, total of which is $146,846. The list is based on a 5-year computer refresh cycle, which is our current 3 to 4 year approach, the age of equipment, upkeep costs, performance, and obsolescence. The recommendations are also consistent with the 3-year technology plan. They're integrated with the hardware used in our recently adopted mobile workstation initiative that's been implemented, and a phased approach to standardizing a color printer for each office, reducing toner replacement costs and cost-efficient through leveraging government contracts and volume pricing. And with that, Mr. Chairman, are there any questions that you have?
Questions?
I'm going to remove my objection.
Discussion? No objection. Molly, would you call the roll?
Representative Klayman?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Stutes?
Yes.
Senator Coghill?
Yes.
Senator Menchippi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Guttenberg?
Yes.
You're on now.
And, Anisak, although I'm not sure we need a motion, or I guess we do have a motion here to approve the 3-year technology plan. Can you just continue?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Happy to. So the 3-year technology plan covers the years 2018 to 2020, and this plan is reflected and required under Alaska Statute 24.20.055. This has been edited by the IT subcommittee and is presented to the Legislative Council for consideration and adoption. Guiding principles used to develop the 2018-2020 technology plan are customer focus, accessibility, reliability, value, and continuous improvement. This provides a guide for the legislature to follow IT best practices, forecast critical system investment requirements, and maintains IT service alignment with current business priorities. Highlights included in the strategic include the strategic technology issues that are facing the legislature, as well as critical IT infrastructure projects noted earlier. Perhaps importantly is the adoption of a cybersecurity risk management framework for the legislature. It's also important to note that this plan does not bind the legislature to any expenditures, projects, timelines, but it rather serves as a technology roadmap for the next 3 years. That, I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you. Let's do a motion.
The Legislative Council adopt the legislative 2018-2020 3-year tech plan.
Thank you for discussion and all. So, talk about the cyber risk assessment a little bit more. And although it's not under our preview, but it does determine how we all get here. What is your assessment of Division of Elections risk assessment? Are you aware of that at all? Do you participate? If not, I'm going to ask you to do that, because I think we all have an interest in that, and maybe I'm overstepping our bounds, but it's all how we get here, and it is important to us.
So certainly I can address that. So Division of Elections is not managed under the legislative branch, so that's not certainly our preview. However, I will say this, that as the state of Alaska, the executive branch, the legislative branch, often look for opportunities to work together. One of those areas is under the cybersecurity environment, and part of this plan is actually taken from the executive branch approach to securing information systems. We often are just behind the bad guys that are out there, and so it's important for us to have a framework where we can assess the data that we have, we can select the level of controls and how we want to protect that information. So, for instance, as an example, the public website, that's public information out there. However, it's
not very appropriate to find out that the website is compromised. You get into more closely, like you, the example you brought up, elections, those votes must be protected, and they must be accurate. And so that level of risk needs to have systems built around that. And then finally, when you get into confidential types of information, whether it's criminal justice information, whether it's HIPAA protected information, there's a whole level of controls that need to go around that. So that's where it's important to approach security from a risk management standpoint. What's the appropriate level of risk? And this approach that we're taking for the legislature is submitting in this plan is to assess risk, and with that risk, the information, how we should protect that, set the appropriate amount of controls around that, monitor those controls, if there's a breach of some type, we remediate the issue that's in there, and then how we move forward in the continuous improvement process. So I think the short answer, Mr. Chairman, is we work closely with the executive branch and we'll continue to do so.
As part of that, you know, I get on my phone, I get on my home computer, get on the state system. I get hacked, and I get all kinds of crazy, I get requests off of things, you know, I get emails that look like they're perfectly legitimate, and if you want to check this, just hit this box, and we'll get, you know, to look at your account, or, you know, I get the phone calls, hey, we can do a better interest rate on your credit card, why don't you give us, you know, call us back, and it's like, well, first tell me what credit cards I have. No, tell us what your credit card numbers are. No. So how do you, from outside the building, through us, staff, and into the system, how are we protected? I mean, I don't need the nuances of the exactly, but how would they be looked at, and are you secure that we're moving in that right direction?
So, a very good question, and really what you're pointing out is there's a kind of two facets of security. One is the technical infrastructure to protect the systems from bad people intentionally trying to get in or people doing bad things. So we put as much as we can as reasonable to protect those systems. The other issue is one of the risk factors or exposures, risk vectors are our own staff. It's our own people. It's us as users that are out there. And so it's constant security awareness training. There's also some tools we can put in place. And I'll give you this as an example. We recently made an investment when we went to our new email system so that every one of those emails is scanned for viruses. And we just turned on this last week a technology that looks at the links and determines whether it's called safe links so that when you get that email that looks legitimate, you feel it's legitimate, and you click on that link's been inspected, it's been cleaned up to make sure, and we haven't had that. That's fairly new. So those are the kinds of technologies that are out there, and with ongoing assessment and frameworks, we can improve on that. I think it's important to just stress it's managing it daily, weekly, and the framework will help us manage and assess so that when things do happen, we know where our risks are and we remediate it.
And a tech center in Fairbanks, and one of their monitors is web assaults around the world. And it is amazing to watch what goes back and forth and vulnerability. The world for it. So is there any more discussion? If not, no objection. Molly, would you call the roll?
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stewart.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman.
Yes.
Chair Guttenberg.
Yes.
No names.
Okay. Thank you. Jessica, would you, on the agenda, we have upcoming agenda items that people need to, that are on the horizon. I want to make sure that we don't get, we're, members aren't surprised, and they can have input and comments about some of the things that we're, I'm going to be looking at in future meetings besides what we've done here. So if you would.
Mr. Chairman, members of the council, again, for the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency. You were all distributed a memo as part of your packet. I'm not sure if you got a chance to read it, but I'm just going to go through sort of the bulleted items. As you're probably all aware, the building that's pretty much attached to Terry Miller Building burned down last fall. And we've had all kinds of issues. Our security staff has been keeping a close eye on what's been happening, but there's been vagrants camping out in the building. It's a huge liability. There's the potential for them starting a fire, and if that thing goes off again, it'll be catastrophic. So the Juneau Community Foundation approached us and said that if the legislature has a use for that building, they'll purchase it and give it to us. And what I would think we'd be looking at is approving the demolition of the building, and it would be raw land until such a time that we want to consider building on it, whether it be a parking lot, whether it be sort of our long-term pipe dream, so to speak, is to build an off-site, or I guess it'd be on-site storage facility to phase out of the Goldstein building, which we've been working on, and Tina Strong had some information on what we've done so far with that space. But anyway, that's sort of long-term goal there. I think just from a risk management perspective, it would be a good idea if the council wants to vote to accept the building. We're getting an environmental hazard study right now because, of course, that could increase the cost of the demolition. So they're estimating $150,000 to $200,000 right now, and that could climb up substantially. So I didn't want to bring it before council for a vote until we had all of the answers to those questions. So I expect that'll be coming up at some point in the future. The four columns in front of the...
We'll get a fat. So let me just point out, going through last meeting's minutes, Senator McKinnon asked questions about the Goldstein building, which I had previously asked very similar questions, and interest in this, and Ms. Strong was going to have an assessment, but we can put that off because we're going to... And they go as fast as we can now, but that's available to members, and we'll get that distributed.
Yes, and just the brief of that is that we have been working on consolidating, but we have a sort of inventory that we've come up with what's in there, so we'd be happy to distribute that to members if there's interest, which it sounds like there is. So the next item...
And this is Mr. Chair, oh. Representative Clayman has one comment.
Oh. Representative Clayman.
Just with regard to the building adjacent to the Terry Miller building, I obviously don't have a decision we have to make today, but I would want to make sure that we get back the environmental assessment before we make a decision either one way or the other. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Feynman.
Okay. Moving along to the column restoration, the four columns seem to be shored and toned. They have some staining. So it basically involves epoxy and a whole bunch of sanding and different things that I'm certainly no expert on, but it does need to be done. And again, the Juneau Community Foundation has committed to match the expense at 50%. The rough estimate is that it should be around $300,000 total. We're working on getting some engineering for that so we can issue an RFP. And then the next item, which, sure.
So when I first saw this, I was, the question I asked is why wasn't this part of the, and you are in the position you're at now, but part of the remodeling, the exterior rebuild that we had before, why was it excluded? Do you have any history on that?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding was it was initially discussed as being a part of the seismic retrofit project, but because of the sheer nature of some of the things that were found, while they were excavating underneath the Capitol, and basically they ran out of contingency funds to do that particular part. Everything else ended up being costing a bit more. So,
okay.
The answer there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, I think I was on the Terry Miller building. So, some of the windows in that building are original. They've been sort of replaced as needed. We've got, I think the building was built in 1929. I think we've gotten rid of most of the exterior windows that were there at that time, but there are still some, interestingly, on the inside. We have some 1960 windows, we have some 1986 windows, and then the most recent was on the north wall. We have some windows that were replaced in 1998. So that project is important. That project is important because of energy efficiency issues and just it's a good thing to get done. So, and then the next item is the cladding. The cladding for the building, right now it's concrete, it's old, it's exposed, it's aging, and so it would be a good idea to put some sort of protectant on there, and so we're working on getting engineered drawings done and a cost estimate so we can do an RFP. So that will come up sometime in the future, so we just want to make sure you had information. Any questions?
Resistance.
I have a question. What is cladding?
Great question, Representative Stutes, through the chair. It's like metal siding that they'd affix to the outside of the concrete, which would protect the concrete and then also keep us from having to paint it, which desperately needs to be done. The building is kind of in rough shape right now.
Follow up.
So is it something that's necessary? What purpose does it serve, I guess?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, the purpose that it serves is to protect the concrete from further degradation. So when concrete's old, water gets inside of it, expands, it cracks, all kinds of issues that end up happening with keeping concrete nice. And so by putting the cladding on, you're extending the life and sort of deferring maintenance. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
So it's either the continued maintenance of very old concrete that is shedding, lack of a better term, or just covering it and not having to do that periodically.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. And it's advantageous if both projects could be approved and done at the same time, but the windows would take priority in those two projects.
Anything else? I have a few things I want to discuss at the last minute, at the last meeting. One of the things Senator Micciocci brought up is having a per diem committee to have a discussion on those things. I will ask the members if there's a desire to do that and who wants to serve. But other than that, I think we will continue to keep you as informed as possible as soon as we know that there are issues that are formal enough to be discussed, you know, long before they're going to be on the next agenda. At this point, there isn't another meeting scheduled, but the next meeting schedule will probably be dealing with a new hiring situation and as soon as possible. Hopefully it would not be long, but it depends upon what process we go through. Is there anything else anybody has on agenda that they'd like to talk about or discuss or wants the council to bring up at a future time? Representative,
made clear that the directive on the sign and the name is the Anchorage Legislative Information Office. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can I go back to that? That would be Anchorage Legislative Information Office, which I think we were trying to avoid calling it the LIO because it's also legislative offices. So I think the discussion, if I remember from Anchorage Caucus,
last week, Anchorage Legislative Office Building, I think, was sort of what we landed on because...
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Let's, Chief, please, it would be an honor to give you that motion.
Sure. Been waiting. How many are you?
16 and,
Here's for this motion.
Holding.
Adjournment of the council meeting.
All right.
Do we need a vote?
If there is a motion?
Yeah.
No.
Motion carries without objection.
Okay.
Thank you. We're adjourned. Thanks. Yes, we're adjourned.